The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today had a good, stable corporate job. Everything was going great for him. And then one day, his company ran into some problems and he ended up being part of a layoff. And he had to figure out a new way to support himself. He'd always been interested in real estate, and he thought if he bought some rental properties, he could generate enough money to support himself and his family. And he did it, and it didn't take that many rental properties. Really, with just a handful of rental properties, he's been able to support himself, and today he lives off his rental income. So on the show today, we're going to find out exactly how he did it. So let's take a real quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Jim from Utah. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. It can be a real challenge to stay organized and keep track of all your rental income and expenses for tax time. Most people end up with a pile of receipts that you need to sort through and make sense of. I want to let you know about an easier way. It's a software that I use called Rental Hero. It was built specifically for rental property owners. They have a really easy to use web portal as well as an app where you can easily input all your income and expenses. You can take pictures of receipts and you're done with the paper receipts for good. They have a free 30-day trial. You can try it out. No credit card required. If you don't like it, there's nothing to cancel. Just go to rentaltrial.com. That's rentaltrial, T-R-I-A-L.com. One day you had a great job. Everything was going great. The next day you found yourself part of a layoff. What happened?
Just about every single person from the vice president to all the sales reps was getting let go because of a product that just never really took off. It was a product for pain relief. And it didn't get managed care approval. And so we all got let go. And at the time, I was 55 years old.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So you get off that call and you've got to figure out a plan to how you're going to generate income. So how did you stumble on rental properties?
Well, I've always had an interest in rental properties. Many years back, I'd been tempted to get into it, but with life and with raising kids and a family and certainly keeping your own job down where you have the guaranteed paycheck, it just never took off.
Sure.
And so when I had the free time, I went to a seminar in downtown Salt Lake, and they got me all revved up and motivated again. And then I ended up buying a sixplex. That was my first property over in Platte City, Missouri.
So now there's a lot of different strategies when it comes to investing in rental properties. And in your case, I mean, you needed income right away. And you're living in Utah and you ended up investing in Missouri. Like, how did that happen? Like, why didn't you invest closer to home?
I was able to get that sixplex, which currently the gross is about almost $5,400 a month. Mm-hmm. if it's fully rented. And I was able to get that back in 2014 for about $350,000, $355,000, depending on how you look at it, for the closing costs and you know, the rents that were applied at closing, et cetera.
Okay, so you're getting a much higher return. So you couldn't get those returns closer to where you live?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, a sixplex that was similar to what I found in Missouri at the time, probably without exaggeration, would have been easily another $200,000.
Wow. Okay. So did you have any connection to Missouri, or were you familiar with the area?
No, the connection was really this this place that I, at the time, was called Wealth Accelerator. And, you know, so I went, and they had a property over there that they had tracked down, and I negotiated, and we, you know, made sure everything was right. We went back and forth. It actually took a long time to close, and I probably was part of the problem because I wasn't the easiest going buyer, if you will. I wanted to make sure certain things were fixed and this and that.
Sure.
And a little bit apprehensive at first, too, being my first stab at being an investment, you know, realtor, if you will.
Right.
Excuse me.
Investor. Right. Right.
Yeah, right. Right. So anyway, bottom line is we got it and everything worked out, but it took probably about 3 months from start to finish to actually close.
Okay. And were there tenants already in the property when you bought it?
Yes.
Okay. So that was up and running. You basically just had to close, and then all of a sudden you're getting passive income every month.
If I remember right, I think there was like one vacancy, and then shortly after we closed, one did come vacant. So we had two that we had to fill. And then after that, and ever since, it's been, you know, relatively smooth sailing. It's in a B-grade neighborhood. It's in a nicer area. But, you know, as you well know, you're going to have some hiccups every now and then.
Sure.
With any investment property. I mean, you're going to have some surprise maintenance and repairs and a couple of evictions here and there, as much as your property manager tries to screen them out.
Right. Yeah. It's not, not 100% foolproof. It's not purely passive, but tell us, so you've continued to buy more properties after that six unit building. Tell us what your portfolio looks like today.
All right. Well, I've got the next year in 2015, I bought a fourplex in Kansas City, Kansas. And then, just last year, the beginning of last year, I bought a duplex in Kansas City, Missouri. And then the two homes in Independence, Missouri, I bought at the very end of last year. So, you know, I have a total of four properties. Plus, I have my own house here in Utah that I have an accessory apartment that I rent out as well. So all told, I have technically 15 units that bring in rent.
Yeah, you know, I love hearing that, you know, you're not telling me that you needed to replace your salary and you had to go out and buy 50 or 100 units. You bought four properties, and with those four properties, you're generating enough money that you're able to live now, right?
Yeah.
That is incredible. Yeah. Now, tell me about the dwelling on your property. So this is like just a little apartment. Is it like a separate building?
No, it's not a separate building.
Okay.
It's just part of the house that's got an enclosed area with a separate kitchen, bathroom, living area, etc. And it's an approved accessory apartment, and it's a great way to basically, you know, ease the burden of any type of mortgage or, you know, expenses you have living in your own house.
Does that cover a big portion of your mortgage?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. So renting out that rental, you've been able to greatly reduce your living expenses, and then the income from the other rentals then is what you're living on.
Yep.
That's great. Now, how do you feel about debt? So last week on the show, we had Brad Spencer, and he was talking about how he's built his portfolio without using any debt. And I've thought about that a lot this week. And like, I think when you're younger, debt is definitely powerful, and it can help you grow your portfolio a lot faster. It can help you build a lot of wealth. But for someone at your stage of life, I mean, you're retired, and that debt is bringing an element of risk to your life. So, like, how do you feel about debt? Like, do you want to get your debt paid down, or are you comfortable having debt on your properties?
If you can borrow at 3% to make 7%, I don't really have a problem with that, especially if it's a pretty safe and secure investment where, you know, chances are high you're not going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, there's something to be said for the peace of mind of not having to owe anybody anything at any given time, no matter how bad things get. I kind of go back and forth between the two, but if I had to choose, I think I would just assume not have any debt.
Okay. So are you working towards getting your properties paid off, or do you feel comfortable having some debt on the property?
Well, right now, I mean, if you're going to have debt, make sure the debt is the type that you can write off.
Yeah.
You know, that's the tax write-off. And out of the, you know, the sixplex, the fourplex, the duplex, and the two homes, I mean, I only have, you know, 80 some odd thousand left in debt. The rest is all paid off.
That's great. Yeah, I love that. So let's talk about finding the property. So you said for that sixplex, that organization that you were working with, they helped you find that property. Do you still work with them? Have they been finding you the properties that you've bought since that first property?
You know, I got the sixplex through them, and then that's it so far. They still send me properties, but they tend to have the nicer properties in the nicer neighborhoods with the thought of better appreciation and less maintenance and better tenants, if you will. And then I elected to kind of go out on my own and go more for the cash flow and to just deal with the headaches of the maybe the tougher tenants and the tougher neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the fourplex, for example, I got for less than $100,000, and that brings in about gross almost $26,000 a year.
Great. Wow.
And the duplex I got for $37,000, and that brings in, you know, if it's functioning correctly, it should bring in almost $16,000.
Yeah.
Gross. And then the two homes, you know, I got for a song as well, less than $50,000, and they should bring in close to $16,000-$17,000 gross a year as well.
So is the neighborhood, you said the neighborhood isn't as good as the first property you bought. Have you had more troubles? Like, you're getting a higher return, but is there more work involved?
I mean, you definitely have. I mean, you know, they just don't take care of things as well. If you put pen to paper and you calculate your return, I mean, the cap rates, these days you don't find cap rates in the double figures anymore.
Right.
It's very tough. It's very tough to get a consistent return after expenses. And, you know, all the other insurance and taxes and everything else to come in at, you know, 12% or higher return.
Yeah.
I mean, the nicer properties, you're going to be lucky if you come in at, you know, 5, 6%.
Right. That's true. So now talk to me about management. So do you have a local property manager that's helping you manage the day-to-day with the properties?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've gone through, I'm on my second property manager. The first one, I had to leave. They were giving me an excellent rate, but I didn't feel like they were giving the attention to the properties like they should. And whenever I requested them to go out there to do certain things, it was nickel and dime time where they would charge me, you know, a little extra for this and that. When I had a vacancy, you'd find these extra expenses like advertising and so forth. And I just got a little frustrated with that. So I went with another outfit. And the current property manager I have now, I mean, very responsive, talk to you on the phone, we'll discuss different possibilities, and just a little bit more attentive, and so far so good.
Yeah. Now, you're doing a couple of things to, I guess, save some money, make your properties more profitable. And I want to kind of look at this a little bit. So the first thing is that you have your own handymen that do any repair or maintenance work that comes up. Tell me how that came about.
Well, when I bought the sixplex, I asked the guys, the main guy that I worked with the outfit, Wealth Accelerator at the time, and he had properties in the area as well. And so he gave me the lead of one of the maintenance guys, and he turned out to be very responsible, and you could trust him, et cetera. And he was less expensive than just giving carte blanche to the property managers. Okay. To use their own people, and then he gave me a lead of another person when he wasn't available, and so far between those two guys, it's worked out very well. It's very rare that I would just use, an off the street plumber or electrician, or someone from the property manager outfit themselves that they normally use. I just find them to be, it's more comforting to know that you've dealt with the guy in the past, you trust him, and he tends to be a little bit more reasonable in price.
So how does it work? So if a tenant has, maybe a light fixture that stopped working, they'll call the property manager, and then does the property manager call you, or are they going directly to your handyman?
Any repair or maintenance issue, usually the property manager will reach out to me via text.
Okay.
And then I'll see it. And then I tell them, just call. I'll have them have the property manager just call my people. And so that saved me some time. When I started out, I was always the one that kind of took the ball. And then I had to track the guy down and line it all up myself.
Right.
And now the property manager I have now just has my people, their name and number, and they will just go ahead and contact them.
Okay, that's great.
But I still like to, even on the minor stuff, I don't like giving them carte blanche, like, anything under 250, just go ahead and call Mike, or whatever.
Right.
I like to be kept in the loop.
Now, the other thing that you're doing to save money is when you have to replace appliances, you're not buying new appliances. You found a place that will deliver you used appliances. Tell me about how that works.
Yeah, I've had several times where I've had to replace a stove or a refrigerator or something like that, and I've gone both routes, but I'm favoring the used route only because, usually, like on a fridge, say it only lasts 2 years on a used one. If you have to get three or four of them, you're still about the same price of one brand new one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you're going to have more of a headache because that means you're involved with three or four replacements and you got to get it. But, it's the risk you take to save the money by just going with a used appliance. I've got an outfit that I've contacted now that charges me very little to go pick up the appliance, put it into the unit and plug it in, and it's like $50. And to me, that is more than reasonable.
Yeah.
To go pick up an appliance, put it in the truck, drive it to the location, wheel it in, plug it in. And most used appliances, they give you 90 days. And if something's going to break or not be right, it's going to happen within that 90 days.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting way to do it. Even if you end up paying the same, if you're going to spend $1,000 over 10 years on appliances, you're spreading that cost out so you don't have the full $1,000 hit today to buy a new appliance. You're spreading it apart over 10 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Jim, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking some time to share your story with us. If Jim inspired you and you want to add to your portfolio or even buy your very first rental property, the lender that I recommend is Shaylee Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. What I love about Shaylee is that she's actually an investor herself and she sees herself more of an educator than she does a salesperson. So she'll really take the time to make sure you understand the loan, you understand all your options. She's very patient and knows so much about lending. She's definitely a great resource. If you want to set up a time to talk to Chailey, just go to her website. It's ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe. We put out new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as a new episode has come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.